The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 89, Ghost Rider from 2007. We're looking for the streak here. I'm dying to find out, well, as I record this, I already know the answer. But does John love this? Does he hate it? Is it somewhere in between? Who knows? You don't know. You got to get into the store to find out. But John also, he loved Ghost Rider growing up. I didn't read it. A little spoiler here on what we talk about. John gives a great background to Ghost Rider and lets us know how accurate this is to the comic. So I could stand outside the store all day, sit here and tell you all about what we just talked about and all the exciting stuff that goes on in the store, or you could just get into the store. Hey, John, I'm back. It's Monday.
It is Monday.
I can't wait. I've been waiting all weekend for this news.
What's the news?
I can't wait to see it. Does the streak continue? Are you still Mr. Brightside? I mean, we'll get to, do you want to save that? We'll wait until after the trailer. And yeah, let's do that.
How do you want to do it?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's tease him for at least another 30 seconds.
All right.
I have no idea. I'm very excited to find out because this could go either way. It's going to be fun either way.
Yeah.
We don't have anything else, right? I don't think so. Yeah,
no, because we don't really have any covers or anything to talk about.
No covers,
so.
No FOC. Let's get right to it. Let's have some fun. We'll get this trailer out of the way, and then we'll... I can't wait. So, let's play this trailer.
Taking a dirt nap after that ragdoll today.
I got lucky.
Luck don't cover it, JB. You got an angel looking after you.
Maybe it's something else.
Story goes that he'll be normal during the day, but at night, in the presence of evil, the Rider takes over.
I'm the only one who can walk in both worlds. I'm Ghost Rider.
So that was a very short trailer because a lot of it was just music and words like typed on the screen. So that doesn't play well to a audio only podcast. So right. I edited a lot out, but it hopefully it seems a little seamless. So
yeah,
luckily because that was so short, we can get right to it. John, the floor is yours. What's going on?
Well, like JB himself, I walk between two worlds.
Uh-oh.
Because while I am not going to completely trash this movie, it's a pretty terrible movie. Like, it's not good. Even Eva Mendes and Sam Elliott cannot save this movie.
Eva Mendes did a lot to try and save
it. She did a lot to try, and believe me,
there's a lot of
she almost succeeded.
Buttons.
Yeah, but this movie is super fun, but it's a pretty terrible movie. Like, I can't lie. I own it, so yeah. Obviously I enjoy it to some degree, but I have to be honest.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I thought that the entire time. I'm like, I don't know, maybe if Nicolas Cage had a better hairpiece.
Yeah.
It might have saved the movie. And like, because you could take it a little more seriously.
Who has more fun being themselves than Nick Cage, though?
Does he even act anymore?
I don't know. He's just like the most Nick Cage that Nick Cage can be in this movie. Like, you're right. The hairpiece that's trying to make him look 30 years younger than he really is. And like just his demeanor.
Yeah.
The way he talks and like the pointing, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
I like that pointing part when they asked him to, what was it when, who was Sam Elliott was sewing him up, I think. Was it Sam Elliott that was sewing him up his back? And he's like, can you, sterilize this needle? And he's like looking at it and he's got his hand going. He goes, no, just tip it in the boiling water, you dummy.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. This movie, it was fun. I thought the entire time. And you're right. The entire time you're like, this is horrible. It's such bad, like,
it's just, I don't bad, know if it's acting, bad acting. It's badly.
It's, yeah.
Well, it's Nick Cage. Like, again, it's just Nick Cage. Like, he's a national treasure, but he's not the best actor, right? Like,
but I'm ching. Look at you.
Yeah.
And I love Nick Cage movies.
Me too. I love them all.
I'm a sucker for all of them. And it's, I don't know why. Maybe because it makes you feel like anybody could be an actor. I don't know.
Right. Maybe it's like, I could do that.
I mean, he does have acting blood. I mean, his family is pretty, you get into the Coppolas and stuff. So
right. That's a showbiz family.
Yeah. He won an Academy Award, didn't he? For Leaving Las Vegas?
I think so.
So,
yeah,
so he can act. I mean,
it just feels like, it feels like the later he gets in his career, the more Nick Cagey becomes, you know? Like,
yeah.
Well, he had a lot of movies under his belt by the time he did this one.
Well, that's the thing is I went to look on IMDb under his name, and I went to look up, like, other movies he had done at around that time, and it's insane, like, he does like 5 movies a year, it seems.
Yeah, he's got like 100,000 movies. Like, he's in everything. He's got a ton of movies.
It's 105, but okay.
Yeah.
That year, let me see. I'm looking at it right now. So 2007, he did Ghost Rider, Grindhouse, Werewolf, Women of the SS. That was a short.
Nobody's even heard of half of these things.
He was Fu Man. No, I remember Grindhouse.
Well, I remember Grindhouse, but
next,
not Werewolf Woman of the SS.
And National Treasure Book of Secrets. Those movies came out in 2007. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. 6 movies he had come out.
Like The Rock before The Rock. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like,
yeah, the guy that doesn't say, well, Michael Caine was on that trail too, where he never said no to anything.
Right.
He was in everything. The year before, 2006, he did Wicker Man, World Trade Center, and The Ant Bully. So, I mean, he's just in everything.
Yeah, he's in everything.
A slow year in 2004. Actually, 2003 and 4, only one a year.
So, yeah, he must have been on vacation.
Yeah. National Treasure was 2004. But that's just it. And when you say, it's bad acting. But remember that scene with Eva Mendes the first time he interviewed her?
Uh-huh.
Right in the alleyway there at the stadium, and he just acted like a buffoon.
Yep.
And she asked him a question and he was just like, said nothing. And she's like, well, alrighty then. But that is acting, you know? He's acting that part.
Yeah, it is. But
now, what do you know of Ghost Rider? I didn't read Ghost Rider at all.
I loved Ghost Rider growing up, actually.
Did you?
Ghost Rider was one of the first comics that I ever actually read month to month.
Really?
Something about it. I started reading it in early 80s, 10, 11 years old. And something about it I really dug. And I got onto Ghost Rider monthly. Like, I really liked it. And, we've had several Ghost Riders since then. But, obviously Johnny Blaze will always be, to me, mm-hmm. Ghost Rider. And, Roxanne was his girlfriend in the comics and, as far as things go, it was fairly accurate. Like, his comic book origins, he made the deal, mm-hmm. To save his father's life in the comics, just like it was in the movie. Like, it was pretty accurate as far as, the origin and the story and the characters. So that was really good. In the comics, he wasn't so much like a, he wasn't a superstar world. He was just a carny bike jumper, you know. Like in the movie, it made it seem like, you know, bike jumpers had a much higher standing in the world than they do. But you know, he was pretty famous,
right?
You know, and I guess would be somewhat wealthy, you know, and you know, he wasn't that way in the comics. But I mean, otherwise, everything was pretty true to it. I mean, even Blackheart, you know, that's a villain from the movies. From the comics. Sam Elliott's character, Carter, can't remember the name now, but you know, was actually the kind of like the Western Ghost Rider. So I mean, everything was pretty true to the comics. So they did a really good job with that. And yeah, I love the character. So
good. I mean, I didn't know if it was that how true it was to the comic because I knew he existed. I didn't read him at all. For me, I think that was too far out fantasy for me at the time. I was already into my mainstream comics and I didn't really vary from that.
I think for me, because it was different,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was different from what I was reading because I was very much just a superhero, you know, Green Lantern, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. That was all I read. So to me, this was different and something that I liked.
So was the comic darker than the movie was? Did they brighten up the movie at all for entertainment's sake? Or is it pretty much like the same idea?
Yeah, this was a 70s and 80s comic. So, I mean, they weren't like super adult or dark necessarily. But, I mean, the themes were, you know, obviously dark, you know, because it's, you know, Satan and possession and things like that. So, I think it was kind of the same. You know, it wasn't, they definitely weren't popcorn comic books. You know, he wasn't a happy guy. You know, he's tormented because he's, you know, he sold his soul to the devil and he's cursed. So, you know, they weren't happy stories, but they didn't branch into super adult themes because they were, you know, still Marvel,
right.
Marvel comics that were on the rack. So, you know, they didn't do anything grossly violent or sexual or adult in them. But like I said, they weren't for kids necessarily because the themes were kind of dark.
Right. So the end of this, when he gets a chance to get his soul back.
Yeah, I don't remember that from the comics necessarily.
Okay.
Because like he spent the whole theme running through the character through the comics was always, you know, how do I get out of this deal, right? Like he wants to save himself and break the deal with the devil so he can get his soul back. At least in those days, like nowadays, you know, again, Johnny Blaze has been through a lot of changes. Like now he's basically the ruler of hell and not interested in getting his soul back at this point. But you know, those days in the comics, if he had a chance to get out of it, he would have got out of it. So that's the only thing, you know, even going to the comics, and they kind of did a good job at the end of this where he says, I'm going to keep this curse and I'm going to kind of use it against you.
Yeah.
But leading up to that, the idea, like, this is Hell's bounty hunter. And so, like, or, like, Hell's servant. So, like, I don't understand why he's necessarily going after people that are doing bad things. You know what I mean? Like, why is he trying to bust up the muggers and the rapists and all that stuff? He's a demon, you know?
Well, doesn't it send him to hell? Is that the idea? Like, if he grabs them there, then they go
maybe.
To hell or something?
I guess don't know. Maybe, but it was kind of like, you know, like even the scene in the jail where, you know, he gets on all the criminals and he lets the one kid go, you know, because he's innocent. It's like a
right.
demon wouldn't care. Like, he's a demon. You know
well,
what I mean?
No. See, I have, it's and like, it's funny since while watching this movie, I have a different perspective on. Like hell, the devil, and well, now Johnny Blaze and Ghost Rider, because of Tom Ellis's Lucifer.
Right, but this,
and,
yeah,
but you know what I mean. Though. It's like if you look at it through that way, it's like, well, the devil doesn't really care about you if you're not evil. You know, if you're not heading in that direction, it's like you don't care. And it's like if you follow through the Lucifer show, and you're like, oh, okay, you know, he's actually not a bad guy. He only deals with bad people.
Right, but, you know. And I guess this comes from knowing the comics a little bit more, but like
right.
the Ghost Rider itself is a demon. Like it's Zarathos is the name of the spirit. And
okay.
It's an evil being, like an evil entity that would have no compunction to go after somebody that's innocent any more than it would somebody that's guilty. You know what I mean? It's not
a spirit. Oh, so they changed that for the movie?
A little bit. Like, in the movie, they never really specifically say, like, what the Ghost Rider is. Like, it's kind of implied that it's just abilities that's granted to Johnny Blaze by the devil, right?
Right.
Like, I'm gonna force you to turn into Ghost Rider, but they never really say that the Ghost Rider is a separate being of its own.
Right.
But in the comics, it is that. And you kind of have to, you know, you would only know that if you're a reader of the comics. But it is a being that's passed on from host to host.
Okay.
That is a malevolent being. Like, he's a demon. Johnny Blaze in the comics tries to assert his will, you know, over the demon and get it to do his bidding. But, which is sort of what he, you know, he's also saying at the end of this movie. But they never do a good job of specifying that.
Okay.
It's a being out. It's not Johnny Blaze just turning into a flaming skull. Like, he's transforming into another being. His body's being taken over by another entity.
Right. I think they actually do a better job of that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
If you've seen that. But
yeah, I have. I and they it's did a different better job
of. And they briefly explain it. Like, I can't remember the character, the guy that takes.
Well, it's Robbie Reyes, right? That's the Robbie Reyes.
Yes, that's what it is.
Ghost Rider.
Yep.
It's the same spirit. It's just a different host, basically.
Right. So. But I think they actually, what I was trying to say is, like, they actually explain, like, he actually says, like, it's like he takes me over. Like, the first time it happens to him, he's like, I feel different, and it's like I'm taken over by this being or something. They actually explain it a little bit better, I think, in that show.
Yeah.
But so even with that being said, you're still liking the movie. I mean, aside from poor acting.
It's a fun movie. Like I said, it is what it is, and it's funny to see that, you know, again, this came out in 2007, and the next year we got Iron Man. You know,
and it's well, like, yeah, but this, I
so
mean,
so it's not like we were talking about, you know, like Spider-Man from 2000 and it was like 8 years later. This came out 1 year before Iron Man. So it's like, what a difference a year makes.
And but then I when thought we got Spider-Man was better though.
When
I
we mean, got Ghost Rider 2,
oh.
We had already had a couple of MCU movies, so there's no excuse for Ghost Rider 2 to fly anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
they both made money, though.
They
I
did.
Mean, people wanted to see them, and they didn't make a ton of money. Actually, this one actually did make a decent amount of money. I mean, what was it? Cumulative was like over $200 million.
Yeah.
Something like that, the worldwide or whatever. But I don't know what the other one made, but I know in reading about them, I know the other one did make money, but it was considered a worse movie.
Right.
Which is funny. That's how they rank it. It's worse than the first. But yeah, I would say, I mean, this is 2007. I mean, Spider-Man came out in 2002, and I consider that a better movie.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It was better.
That's 2002. It's like,
but we were comparing like Spider-Man to Iron Man and saying, well, there was 6 years between them.
Right.
In this case, this was 2007. Iron Man came out in 2008.
Yeah.
And it was, they're completely night and day in the quality of movies. And
this one did not get the Christopher Nolan treatment. Nobody, there was zero influence here. This came out 2 years after Batman and they apparently didn't see it.
Right.
This is not Ghost Rider Begins. This is, I think they set out just to make a fun movie. And it was, you know, leave your brain at the door and have a good time.
Like you said, I like Nick Cage. We already mentioned Eva Mendes, what's not to like. I love Sam Elliott. I like Donald Logue. So, I mean, it had people in it. You know, the guy, Blackheart, the villain, he's in Yellowstone.
Donald Logue, I didn't even recognize him. He was so heavy in this one.
He was, yeah. But
it definitely
it's like
was.
Bunch of people that I like. It just was badly written. It just wasn't a great movie overall.
Oh, what about Peter Fonda?
That's true. Peter Fonda is the devil, right? So
There were some scenes where he actually
even the dad was somebody that I've seen before. I just don't know his name. But Johnny's father is an actor that we've seen, and we've seen him in several things before.
Brett Cullen is his name.
Yeah, I don't recognize the name, but I definitely recognize the face.
But Peter Fonda, I thought he had some of the stiffest acting.
Yeah,
there
wasn't
were
great.
A couple of scenes that actually looked like he was like alone in a room doing his lines, and then they put him in that spot.
Well, he could have been. We've determined last week we've
seen that
actors don't have to be together.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. But I mean, I thought it was great, and I kept checking. Like, is that his bike from what was the movie?
Oh, what, Easy Rider?
Easy Rider. Yeah, it's similar to his bike. Yeah, his bike didn't have the flames. His bike was the American flag. But I was like, it's a chopper like that. So I kept like, is that him? Is that his bike? But
right.
But yeah, that Brett Cullen, he was actually in Joker.
Oh, he was Bruce Wayne. No, Thomas Wayne.
Thomas Wayne.
Thomas Wayne. Yeah. Yeah, he likes it. He's in tons of things. You see him all the time. You just don't know his name.
He's also a congressman in Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
If you pull his name up, known for Ghost Rider, Joker, and Dark Knight Rises.
It's the first thing that comes up.
He needs another movie to get known for.
Yeah, just to drop Ghost Rider off the bottom of the list.
Exactly. Poor guy.
Yeah. And Nick Cage has done 100 movies since then, so it's probably off the list by now.
Yeah, let's see what Nick Cage is known for. What comes up his
Rock.
Movies? Oh,
probably The Rock.
Poor guy.
Con Air.
All right, his four movies. You'll never guess the fourth. No, you got one. The Rock.
Moonstruck?
Nope. Oh, that's another good one, too.
That's a good movie, though. I like that movie. Yeah.
The four movies that show up on
Valley Earth. Girls?
No. I know. Wow, he's been around a long time.
Yeah, that's the first time. I think that was his like first movie.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I ever remember seeing.
We already mentioned one of them.
Yeah, The Rock.
The Rock. No, but I'm saying we talked about this one earlier, his Academy Award.
Oh, National
Award
Treasure?
Winner.
Oh,
nope.
Leaving
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And the next two you probably won't get. So the next one is Next. You remember that one?
I do.
That was a pretty good movie. I actually enjoyed that one. And I can't believe you haven't guessed the classic.
Uh-oh.
Nick Cage, John Travolta, Face Off.
Oh, Face Off, yeah.
Where they had to play each other.
Yeah, that was something.
That was, yeah.
The acting stylings of John Travolta and Nicolas Cage.
Nick Cage, yeah, it's, I mean. Oh.
What can go wrong?
Yeah, only to be topped by what was the one with John Travolta and they were in the and Christian Slater, Broken Arrow. Yeah, see, now we're getting into
classic
team ups. Yeah. But yeah, the Nick Cage and John Travolta, and I mean, you can't get better than that.
No.
But yeah, Peter Fonda though, I thought he was one of the stiffer people in this one. And I actually thought the close-ups of Eva Mendes when she was talking were weird. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was like her mouth, the way she was talking, she talked like a little kid. It was a weird thing to me that the way she was talking, like they would talk to her and she kind of was like a little too pouty.
Yeah.
In her scenes. Yeah. When they got really close on her, I was like, I don't know. I can't explain it, but I was like, there was something off about her, and it's like obviously they pull back and your concentration goes away.
Yeah, I didn't find that because I was otherwise
engaged.
No, that's
just it. They had to get close in on her face. Yeah.
My eyes were not up here. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. But the special effects, I can't say they were horrible.
They weren't horrible. Again, they don't hold up today necessarily.
Well,
like
no,
I thought
not
there
to
were
today.
Times. I thought there were times where he looked awkward as Ghost Rider, and other times he looked pretty good, but there was a few times where I felt like the shoulders were too broad and the head was too small, you know, and it just didn't look quite right. But then there were, you know, there was other scenes where I thought it looked pretty good.
Well, that those scenes, they probably had John Romita Jr. come in and do some of the artwork.
Maybe so. Yeah. The big cylinder arms. Yeah, I did notice that. And the little small head.
It's tough to ride a motorcycle like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought some of it, like I said, the, you know, obviously the flaming skull and all that, it looked pretty cool. Like, that's probably difficult to pull off in special effects, and, you know, it was decent. The transformation of the bike was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So some of those effects, yeah, some of the effects were pretty good.
I thought the chain, the use of the chain was really cool.
It was cool, yeah.
What about those other demons that they had? What about them from the comic books?
I don't remember them from the comics.
Was it like
they
Earth,
probably
Wind, and Fire they had there.
Basically,
or something?
Yeah. It was the elements.
Oh, water.
The elementals.
It was Earth, Wind, and Water. Not Earth, Wind, not the band. But
yeah, they were probably from the comics. I just don't remember them specifically. But I thought I thought the effects on them were pretty cool as well. You know, that scene where he did the. He created like the vortex with the chain and the fire.
Yeah,
and
that's
sucked
what
him
I,
in. I thought that
looked
pretty good.
The wind guy that he kept trying to like he'd whip and
you can't get the wind. Yeah, you're stupider than you look or something like that.
Yeah, and that's what I thought was good about the story, like the way as you watch the movie and what made it fun is that it was engaging.
Yeah,
you know there was, I mean you're dealing with a demon, a skull on a leather jacket type demon.
Right.
So you kind of really got to, you know, suspend belief here.
Yeah, you got to go with it to a certain degree.
But I got to admit, the entire time I'm watching it, I was like, oh, which way is he going to go on this one? Because I don't know if you had the opportunity in your house to turn it up, but I really enjoyed this as a theater experience. I know this isn't the Bright Side Home Theater podcast.
Yeah,
but
I had it fairly loud, you know.
This movie
it's not
is
in Atmos, but it still was pretty good surround, I think, for a Blu-ray.
Yeah. It cranks. It's really nice. A lot of good engagement. And that's part of what makes it fun.
Well, yeah.
You know, for me, anyways. It's that amusement park ride feeling.
Well,
the action
scenes,
ramps up, and
the scenes in the carnivals and stuff were cool with the jumps and the monster trucks types of things going on, and the sounds there were really good, and you know they were pretty cool scenes, and all the stuff with the bike, even you know as the demon bike or whatever, riding up the side of the building, and like the scene where he goes down the street the first time and like. You know, basically blows up everything behind him.
Right.
You know,
melts
that was
the
pretty,
street.
Yeah. That was pretty good as far as like a theater experience goes.
Yeah. And it was a fun scene. I mean, those are fun, engaging scenes when he first becomes Ghost Rider. I'll tell you another a dig is I thought it was funny, like the poor kid, young Johnny Blaze, had to have his hair like that. Like they gave him that same hairstyle, so that it would match.
Like, what's
the
going
wig.
On here?
Yeah. We'd be like, sorry, buddy, you got
to. What are
do
you
this.
Doing to me?
Take one for the team.
And I don't know who young Eva Mendez was either, but she was pretty cute too. So
hey, all right, we'll move on from that. So this is getting tough. We're agreeing on everything. We're agreeing.
I mean, I know.
We're agreeing that we like it, but don't like it. I mean, that's
right.
How unique is that? This
week? We both think it's a bad movie, but we both still like it.
It's you know, it's like, oh, okay. I mean, how can you not, though? How can you? I can
I
see
mean,
how you could
movies.
Not like it, but how can you not agree that it's a bad movie?
I mean, there's always those movies that are bad, but people like them anyways. You know what I mean? And like, this is just one of them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can acknowledge that it's not great, but it's still fun and I still enjoy it. Like I said, it is Nick Cage being Nick Cage, and you know,
I think
that's entertaining all on its own. So,
right. I think this is one of those movies that maybe we didn't talk about this movie explicitly, but like when we talked about doing this podcast, starting this podcast, this is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
How we enjoy these movies, but yet people bash them. And they're like, all right, now let's go down this road. What did you expect? It's Ghost Rider, right?
Right.
And does this not deliver?
What
would you want to see better? Like, you want to see a better writing story? I mean, I thought the story was decent, and they portrayed Ghost Rider as, like, kind of a buffoon a little bit.
The story's decent. I mean, honestly, like, if I was going, you know, if I had a checklist of things that I would have liked to see out of a Ghost Rider movie, I mean, I guess just having it being treated a little more seriously, you know, like Nicolas Cage is a goof, just like And I mean, nobody filming this didn't know that he was a goof. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like nobody thought that they were, that this was a stellar acting performance when they were making it, including Nick Cage. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, if I had my wish list, that's what I would have wanted to see. I mean, at the time, the special effects were the best they could do. So I'm not necessarily asking for anything more than what they did with the special effects. I think that the overall story and how true it was to the comics and his origin was pretty good. So I mean, I wouldn't ask for anything different there. I just think, you know, like the performance, the acting performance, again, we can joke all we want about Nick Cage being Nick Cage, but I mean, it's not a great performance. So I wish they would have taken it a little bit more seriously, I guess. But I guess my main thing would be, like, who even expected anything? Because how many people going into this movie even knew who Ghost Rider was? Like, you know, we talk about the MCU right. and how they've made a living off of, like, C and D level characters. I mean, Ghost Rider's not even that, right? Like, even in the comics, he's not right. a D level character. He's pretty low on the totem pole. So I can't imagine there was a bunch of salivating fans just, like, lining up to see the Ghost Rider movie, you know? It's a deep cut. Like, you have to really be into the comics to know. So I don't think a lot of people had a ton of expectations going into it. I mean, most people probably went because they're Nick Cage fans and, you know, it's a Marvel movie even then it was still a Marvel movie, right? So
yeah,
people went just because it was a comic book movie, but I don't think it had a ton of expectations on its shoulders going into it. So, you know, there was only like 7 Ghost Rider fans anyway.
So, yeah. Now, I don't think Stan Lee showed up in this one.
I didn't see him. I was looking, and I don't remember seeing him.
I don't think he did. Speaking of Stan Lee, we talked last week.
Did he say that this was his favorite performance of any Marvel
no,
character?
No, worse. I got one worse. Speaking of Fantastic Four from 2015, remember I told you last week that I'd seen it. I was reading about that one on IMDb, and one of the trivia things that they said, that's the only movie Stan Lee refused to be in.
He refused to have a cameo in it, huh?
Yep. Wow. And how I'm like, ouch. How bad is that?
Yeah, because Stan loves to be in front of the camera, so it's going to be pretty bad for him and to not want to take an opportunity to be on screen.
Yeah, for him to refuse to be in a Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
Which is, that and Spider-Man are his, like, babies that started everything.
Yeah,
that
has
to
be pretty telling.
and I think I don't know.
I mean, hell, he was in Mallrats, so.
Yeah, but that's not really.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's not a high bar for what he will appear in, is what I'm saying.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And I love Mallrats, but not a classic of cinema by any stretch.
Well,
so,
it kind of is now.
Now it is, right?
And it's actually been made part of the MCU.
Wasn't
that what he was on the way to?
It was, yeah. He was rehearsing for Mallrats in Captain Marvel.
Yeah, so Mallrats is now canon in the MCU.
Yep, which is awesome.
That's weird, but I that was a good story. But back to this movie. Yeah, no, like you said, I wasn't a fan of Ghost Rider, didn't know anything about him, not to say I was against him, but I knew nothing about him. And I think this movie, if I remember right, came out on President's Day, so it's a February release. Okay. People are looking for something to go and see, and I mean, it was fun. We can't say that enough. It's like how much fun it is. And I think if you walk out of this and you're looking for, you know, you're a Batman Begins or a Christopher Nolan type serious story, then yeah, I think, yeah, it could it have been better acted. Maybe. I don't think the story could have been better, because I think it's, like you said, I enjoyed the story, and I'm glad to see that it's fairly faithful to the comic.
Yeah.
But I mean, so you really can't ask for too much more. I mean, maybe recast it, but then it's not a Nick Cage movie and you get to miss out on all that humor.
Right. Well, like I said, it had its own charm, right?
Exactly.
It definitely had its own charm. Like, I've never seen anybody with a champagne glass full of jelly beans before, so.
No, but yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, I wanted to try it, don't get me wrong, but never seen that before.
There's still time. There's still time.
That's true. Not that I can't try it, I guess.
Now, I did see something about that in my little bit of research that is Ghost Rider known to be like a heavy drinker? And
I don't remember him being an alcoholic, or like I don't remember him being a heavy drinker in the comics.
But they said Nick Cage wanted to play him a little bit more straight, and then he didn't want him to be a heavy drinker. And he wanted to play him a little bit more.
Maybe, like I said, my memory of that doesn't go, like, it's not that deep, I guess. I don't remember him being, as a character, I don't remember him being a heavy drinker.
So part of what we got, the version we got, and the way he was acting all, like, aloof and, like, whatever, was because that was his way of dealing with the deal with the devil, right? Like, well, I can't die anyways, so I'm just going to go through life like whatever. And you get back to that interview with Eva Mendes in that, you know, in the stadium, and he was just like, yeah. And she'd ask the question, yeah, yeah, whatever.
And right, well,
he was so, like, relaxed and so aloof because he knew he couldn't die. And that's why he did the tricks. And
he knew he couldn't die, but he didn't know that he was Ghost Rider either at that point. Like, he had never transformed. A lot of it was, like, they even made mention of it. Like, he pushed those stunts increasingly harder,
right?
Because he wanted to prove to himself that it was him, you know, whether he was doing the stunts or whether it was, you know, because of his deal or whatever. I don't think he knew initially that he was indestructible, basically. You know, it was only after several accidents that he realized that he couldn't get hurt. But
right,
he didn't know the extent of his deal. He just kind of knew. It was kind of like The Godfather. He's like, one of these days I'll come calling, and, you know.
Right, but I think the idea of his demeanor throughout the movie was like he'd given up because he'd sold his soul, so what else does he have to live, you know what I mean? And from what I understood, the way what I was reading was the other Ghost Rider in the comic, he had just turned to alcohol to bury the whole idea of, like, I sold my soul, and was like, and he wasn't out. I'm not saying he might have been an alcoholic, but he was just like, who cares? I can't die. I might as well drink.
Well, the thing is, I know that, like, Danny Ketch, which is the second Ghost Rider in the comics, is an alcoholic character.
Okay.
But I don't think he came about before this. Like, I don't think he existed when this movie came out as a character.
Okay.
So I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I don't know for sure. But I know that, like, in current Ghost Rider comics, like, he's a recovering alcoholic.
Okay.
Because there's actually three, you know, there was Johnny Blaze, then Danny Ketch, and then Robbie Reyes, who's the current, you know, basically the current Ghost Rider.
Okay, here's the, it's under character portrayal on Wikipedia, so you know it's got to be true.
Well, it has to be. The internet says it, so.
Yeah, it says, so here it is. Instead of a, quote, hard drinking and smoking badass, end quote, Johnny Blaze, Nicolas Cage decided to give him more depth. Quote, I'm playing him more as someone who made this deal and he's trying to avoid confronting it. Anything he can do to keep it away from him. Cage also explained that Blaze's stunt riding was a form of escape and a way to keep him connected to his deceased father, who taught him to ride. So you see what I mean? Like, I don't know where that hard drinking and smoking badass, but.
Yeah, what I take away from that is he actually put some thought into the character development, because it really seems like he just showed up as Nick Cage. And, you know.
Right. And that's what I mean. It's like when I see stuff like this and I'm like, well, he tried to do something with the character.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, there's some parts in here that, you know, like we call it typical Nick Cage, but that's not the way he would act in real life. That's
right.
Just all his roles seem to be that.
The same, right? He brings the same character development to every part.
Yeah.
you know, when he did National Treasure, he didn't want him to be a hard-drinking, smoking badass. He wanted him to be a, you know, treasure protector.
Right. But although when he did Leaving Las Vegas, he went with the hard-drinking.
He did, right.
So he kind of leaned into it there.
Yeah.
And won an Oscar.
Yeah, for doing what he tried not to do in every other role.
But yeah, that's what I mean, though. It's like, I mean, there's stuff to this movie that, you know, some things just, I get it. They didn't come off perfect, but it's still a fun movie.
It just made me more sad that we didn't get Superman Lives, because, like, you know, that would be like the pinnacle of my life to see Nick Cage playing Superman at this point. You know,
what would that wig have looked like?
I don't. Well, you've seen it, right?
I know.
Have you ever seen that documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know what he looked like. So,
but you can't go by that, though. Because
yeah, it might have ended up different after post-production.
Once
and
it's
like
on,
that,
yeah, post-production. Because I remember seeing the Titans before the Titans show. And you see those costumes. And, you know, like Hawk and Dove.
Yeah.
And you're like, that looks awful. And then you see the show. And that's just a TV show.
Right.
And they looked great. You know, because you never see them in that pose that you see in, like, the documentary where he's just standing there.
Right.
It's like it's an action scene in the movie. So but it still would have been interesting to see.
It would have been.
It's like, I mean,
he's just like pointing at Luther, you know, drinking jelly beans, drinking green jelly beans and pointing at Luther. I got to see it.
Maybe we can get Snyder on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I need the Snyder cut of Superman Lives.
Now that I have this Wikipedia page open, I just scrolled through a funny thing. It says, Ghost Rider had been delayed to begin in late 2004, but the lack of a workable script continued to delay production. In 2005, they started anyways. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, so this was like, after rejecting a million scripts, this is what they came up with.
Exactly. I just thought I was scrolling past it. I just thought that was funny. Like, but they didn't have a workable script, but all right.
Well, and this would have been after Superman Lives, right? Like that was supposed to happen before
90.
This. Yeah.
That was mid-90s.
Cause I mean, you know, obviously 90s, Nick Cage is, you know, he's a huge comic book fan, a well-known comic book fan.
Yes.
So I think he was actively looking for a part to play. And, you know, went from Superman, arguably the most high-profile character you could ever be, to Ghost Rider, who's one of the lowest-profile characters you could be. But, you know, I think, you know, he was going to do something, right? Because being, you know, like I said, being such a comic book fan, I'm sure he was looking for anything, any vehicle to be attached to where he could play a comic book character. You know, I don't know if he was, you know, obviously it doesn't say whether he was a big Ghost Rider fan going into this, but I would imagine he was.
He probably had a
working
knowledge.
Yeah.
And, yeah. All right. Is that all you got?
I think so.
For this, I can't believe it didn't win an Academy Award movie.
Yeah, right? It is a gem.
They can't all be gems, you know, but they were fun.
It was fun.
What do we got coming up this week? I know it's not a busy week, but we have to have
something.
It's
not a busy week, but it's Robert Kirkman's week, I guess, because both books I have to talk about are Robert Kirkman books. So the first one, obviously, we mentioned at the end of our show the other day, if you listened, Negan Lives, number one, should be the big draw for this week. And then also, Robert Kirkman has Firepower, issue number one. This is a book that we got a preview of, well, it seems like forever now. It's probably 6 months ago now. We got a preview graphic novel of this. I actually liked it quite a bit. I think it's a pretty good story. It's kind of like a Iron Fist kung fu training story. Should be pretty good. So that comes out this week as well. And that's really pretty much it.
Why don't you briefly go over the Negan for anybody that didn't hear the show last week? Because that's pretty cool, and I think it's pretty important for Wednesday.
Yeah, so like I mentioned on the last show, you know, Steve Jeppy, who is the owner of Diamond Comics, has been trying to, you know, run a campaign over the last month or so called Back the Comeback, you know, to help boost comic book sales. for stores that have been shut down or struggling through, you know, the coronavirus. And he has challenged, you know, a bunch of famous people in entertainment and comics industry to promote this initiative. And Robert Kirkman, who's the creator of The Walking Dead, took it, you know, took this up and created this follow-up comic to The Walking Dead, which ended last year, called Negan Lives, which they announced, you know, basically a week ago, and we're getting it in stores next week. So, well, actually, at this point, this week, in just a couple of days. So really quick turnaround. The plus to this is that it's comic book store exclusive. You won't be able to get it anywhere else. You won't be able to get it digitally. You have to go into your store and buy a copy. And then for the retailers, this is completely free to us. It's, you know, a gift from Image Comics and Robert Kirkman. We pay no shipping. We pay no cost to have these books. We just get them and we get to sell them. So really, really cool thing that Robert Kirkman and Image Comics did. And, you know, we need more stuff like this, obviously, to help bolster the sales for the comic book store. So go out and buy this. Go out and buy this book.
For a week that we don't have a lot of comics, we have no Marvel, right. We have no DC, and it's all indie. And if you're looking for something, it's just, if you don't, just pick it up.
Yeah.
Support your cut. This is a way to support your store.
Exactly.
Because it's 100% profit to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, buy one for your friends. It's like,
yeah, like I said, it's $4.99. It's not a huge investment to you, even if you're not a giant Walking Dead fan. It's definitely a way to support your stores. And
yep.
Right now we can use all the help we can get. So especially on a week where we're not going to be selling a lot of books to begin with.
Exactly.
You know, we definitely need the sales from this, you know, every copy of this book that we can get.
Yeah, everybody's looking for a way to help out local stores and in all businesses. And here's something that, you know, you get something. You just, all you got to do is buy it. And
right.
It helps the store tremendously because it's like 100%. So, yeah, I just thought that'd be good to revisit that just in case people didn't hear.
Well, I mean, I don't know who
podcast.
Didn't listen to our show because it is our show.
Right.
So,
yeah, well, you know.
You know, shame on you if you didn't hear it, but just in case.
Hey. We might always every show we're probably getting a new listener.
That's true. That's
we might
true.
Yeah, we might be up to
but,
10
but,
now.
But by now you should have gone back and listened to our back catalog if you're a fan. So
right,
you know, no excuses.
Apparently, they're not fans if they're listening to back catalogs.
That's true, or they're really really big fans.
Yeah. So, all right. That'll do it. I can't wait for Wednesday. Read these few books, but Wednesday will be fun, and then we'll have a good time on Thursday. Hopefully, we can not even mention the publisher that shall not be named.
Yeah,
we'll see if we can get through a show like that.
Sounds like a plan.
Let us know what's going on out there. You can find us on Twitter at @brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And you can go to Nerdy Legion. You can subscribe to all the podcasts and just help everybody out. That would be great. Also, please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. And that will do it. And I will see you on Thursday.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X.
and also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com.
So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.